Hi, this is the Blake Miner, and you are behind the microphone or Bluetooth earpiece with S&C Fan Chat.
Wah, 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 Chaser.
You're behind the mic with Straight Chaser. No Chaser.
Official podcast show.
Yeah,
Chaser.
You're behind the mic,
Chaser.
You're behind the mic for news, interviews, and more.
And more. You got all the albums, you came to our show. You live on the website, but still you want more. So Shayna, Kathy, David, Tina, ready to go. S&C Fan Chat, time for the show.
Hi Chasers, it's Shayna.
Hey, this is Dave.
And this is Tina, and you're behind the mic with S&C Fan Chat.
Yay!
So this is our second Fan Chat Friday. We hope that you're looking forward to Fridays even more now that you know that Fan Chats are going to be out on Fridays.
June. It's June. We're starting the summer, Shayna and Tina. It's June. It's busting out all over. I can feel it.
And June and summer mean no school for me. Woo-hoo!
Hey.
And they also mean a never-ending supply of ice cream chips. But I digress.
Ice cream.
Yes, sugar, chocolate, love. Well, anyway, Chasers, we have a really fun episode planned for you. We have an interview with the fantastic, the dazzling, the lighting guy, the Blake Miner. So take a listen to our interview with Blake. Hi, Chasers. This is Shayna with S&C Fan Chat, behind the mic with Straight No Chaser. So today I have the pleasure of chatting with the guy behind the amazing Dazzling Lights, the Blake Miner. So thank you so much, Blake, for being here, especially since you just got done with the grueling spring tour. I mean, that must have been crazy.
Yeah, it was grueling. It was a lot longer than I originally expected, but it was a good time. We had a fun time, so.
Good. So for anyone that's relatively new to Straight No Chaser and didn't catch our interview with you last year, can you briefly explain your role with Straight No Chaser and how you became involved with the group?
Sure. I am the role that I play is the lighting designer and director. I also help to facilitate the crews and make sure everybody knew what they were supposed to be doing before the show started. And once the show started, I would, especially on this tour, it was more important, but I would call the show pretty much. I would let the crew know when to fly in or out the screen. If we moved the mirror ball at all, I would let them know that. House lights, all that kind of good stuff. Make sure that the crew that only sees the show once a day was acting as though they'd seen the show multiple times like I have. And then I got involved. Charlie Meckling, one of the basses, his wife and I went to high school together, and we've been good friends since about the time that actually Charlie started Straight No Chaser, which was 1996. So we went to dinner one day, and Julia and I did, and his wife, and she sort of jokingly said, would you ever want to do design lights for these guys? And I jokingly said, yeah, sure, whatever. And here I am 2 years later. So that's kind of in a nutshell how it happened. So
pretty cool. So how have things been with you since we chatted with you last year?
Well, as you guys know, as the Chasers know, and the new people probably don't, or the newer fans, obviously the biggest change is that we got new carpet. We are expecting our first child, and it's a little girl. That's
aww.
Obviously the biggest change, that's a huge deal. What else has changed? I'm done with my car payments. That's a major big deal. As far as Straight No Chaser goes, you know, the show got bigger and better, and should only go up from here as far as what they produce for the fans, with of course tweaks, pardon the pun, but minor tweaks here and there. So you know, everything is looking up. Everything is going pretty well.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you and your wife, your daughter. I mean, that must be really exciting for you.
Yes, it is. Very much. I know I sound just completely exuberant, but yes.
Okay, so you had mentioned that you'd been on tour with Straight Entertainment for about 2 years, right?
Yes.
So I'm sure that in these 2 years, you've probably gotten really close with the group and with the crew. So do you have any favorite memories that you'd like to share?
I have a lot of favorite memories. Kyle, the merchandise guy, and myself were roommates on tour. Well, he and I have had quite the experiences together. He also acts as sort of the head carpenter, I guess you would call it, for lack of better words, and lack of the ability to give him a title. But he's done a lot of stage work as well. When I started the tour, he was strictly merchandise guy, and he would kind of be in charge of the meet and greets, both for PBS and after show. And since the show got that much bigger, we needed an extra pair of hands on stage. So he and I have gotten to be pretty close and work together quite a bit, and also then kind of play together quite a bit. But then there's Ryan and Don, who I've become close with, and obviously Charlie, I'm good friends with. Let's see, some stories from the front. I know. The most recent inside kind of very humanizing aspect to a celebrity, personally, I don't view these guys as celebrities. They don't view themselves as celebrities, but the fact of the matter is that they are. But the most recent one, I guess, would be that Charlie spent 3 days on the bus practically by himself. And prior to doing so, he made sure that he had his Xbox. And the 2 weeks after those 3 days, we were in Canada, and there was a smaller set and smaller lighting package for Canada. So there was a lot of unexpected Xbox playing. We turned into, I guess, middle school boys again, because I stayed up with Charlie and some of the other guys sometimes until 2 or 3 in the morning, literally playing soccer. Ryan and Charlie played some of those first-person shooter games against each other. There was a lot of video game playing. It turned into 2 weeks of just, let's hurry up and do what we're doing so we can go back to playing Xbox. that's probably one of the most pure and fun times we've had, because we just became, you know, 35, 36-year-old guys became little kids again, and a very competitive, you know, turned into, there was never any arguing or anger or anything, but, you know, I'm sure you've played video games before, but you get real, like, quiet when you're losing, and get real hyper and annoying when you're winning, and that's exactly what the bus became. Tyler even got involved, and he's not even on our bus. But the video games became quite the distraction, and quite a fun sort of just being able to get away from that stuff. And Don with three kids, and Charlie with one, and me with one on the way. You don't ever get to do that kind of stuff when you're home. It was a good time, especially for Don and Charlie, being able to kind of just do that again. It's kind of a boring story, but
Not boring. I think that it really shows, like, the camaraderie and the essence of Straight No Chaser behind the scenes. So
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to these guys, you know, every day there's something new, so it's hard to narrow down maybe my favorite or most memorable story. There's so many. Ryan and I had a good time. I forget the venue, but they're right outside the venue, and I believe he posted, and maybe I posted some pictures to Twitter, but right outside the venue, there was literally about a quarter of a mile worth of murals, and the murals were only 20 feet wide, so you're talking about, you know, 50 of these scenic painted murals, and Ryan and I decided to go outside and pose as though we were taking part in the scenes that were in those murals, and completely not wearing the outfits that those, you know, paintings suggested or the period right. pieces that they were in. When we were done, we looked down, that we did not know that it was a quarter of a mile worth of murals. We thought it was this handful. And when we were done with what we thought, or when we thought we were done, we looked down the street and there are literally just dozens more. And we're like, oh man, are we going to do this for all of these? The thought crossed our mind. We did not do it, but we definitely both were thinking, you know, if we had the time and a camera person that had the patience, we would probably do it. But we had neither of those, so we decided to pack it up and go back in. Plus, it was, I think it was beginning to rain or something, so it's probably good timing.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So you got to travel quite a bit this past tour. I mean, even just this past year alone, I mean, do you have a favorite city or a favorite venue that you've been to? Because I know that you've been all across the U.S., and then you went to Canada, and you went to the U.K. So was there, like, a specific city or a specific venue that really stood out as being especially memorable?
Immediately, the ones that come to mind, as far as venues, the Las Vegas venue, and I forget the name of it, but it was a two-year-old venue. And not on the Strip, so it's far from all the Las Vegas hubbub, but it was beautiful. I mean, it was built exactly how you would want a theater or venue to be built. The crew was great, so that stands out. The Austin venue, the Long Center, I really liked, also partially because it was in Texas. In Canada has some interesting venues. The idea of the Mirror Ball, here's a little insight. The idea of the Mirror Ball for Staying Alive actually came from the first 2 weeks in Canada when we were there in March, because almost every venue for some reason had a Mirror Ball. And it was not ours to begin with. We did not plan on doing that. And so when we showed up to these venues, because we didn't have nearly as many lights or have a set, in every Canadian show there's something different. We tried to make it specific or special for that city because we weren't traveling with our usual 18-wheeler full of junk. So I tried, at least lighting wise, and we tried with Corby and Bob, the guy on stage at UC. We tried to add something special to that specific city, just so that they could say they got this one thing. But anyway, so there were mirror balls everywhere. And so we kept using them. The first time I used it, the guys almost couldn't sing Staying Alive, not because they were laughing or anything, but they were just so, the whole crowd went, whoa. And the guys did not know that I was going to be using it. It was out in the house. It was hanging over the audience, so it was even more apparent to the guys because it was reflecting more to the stage.
Right.
And so they were really taken back by it, and in a good way they were. And so from there, you know, I believe it was Jerome that, I could be wrong on that, but I believe it was Jerome that almost immediately went to Bob and said, how do we get one of those? Let's get one of those. So literally Bob made a call that night and we had a mirror ball like 2 or 3 days later, and there goes the mirror ball. So Canada was fun in that aspect, that it just had some weird, it's some weird stuff. I don't know if they're behind the times up there or something, or they just really like that retro look, but they had the mirror ball. I love Western Canada personally. So to go back to the question, you know, Vancouver's really nice. I really like that. Victoria was really cool. We were in, oh man, if you give me a second, I can look it up on the calendar, but trying to remember where we were at the very beginning of the tour that everybody just loved. Hold on. It was Kelowna. Kelowna, which is on the island, or maybe it's not, but it's near Vancouver, and it was amazing. It was beautiful, and we were able to spend 2 days there because we had a day off before, and it was probably everybody's favorite city as far as a view. It was just really gorgeous. It was just beautiful. So, you know, we were in Fort Collins for a long time in Colorado, this tour, which stands out. And those usually are the ones that stand out because you're there for so long. So you're able to kind of get to know the city a little more than, or the town a little more than you would, you know, just a quick day in any other city. So.
Right. That must be really cool, too, because I bet you visited a lot of cities that you probably wouldn't have gone to otherwise, like on vacation or anything like that, too.
Sure. Yeah, and it's given me ideas of where to go. I know Charlie really loves Montreal and wants to kind of go up there on vacation one day and take his family. And a lot of these guys have really, I know it's not that big of a shock, but have fallen in love with Nashville. We have spent probably out of every city just because that's where we rehearse, but we have spent a lot of time in Nashville, and I think everybody can agree that they really like Nashville. You know, of course, we have our cities that we don't want to go to again, but I'll keep them myself. But yeah, it's
that's very cool.
we have found some good cities that we would like to revisit. So.
Right. So you had mentioned earlier about the mirror ball. I always think of it as a disco ball. But the mirror ball that was added this past tour, that was my absolute favorite part. I mean, I wasn't expecting it either. So when I saw it when you were in L.A., I was kind of staring at the ball for maybe half of the song instead of looking at the stage. But it was fantastic. So, of course, anyone that's gone to a Shane O'Chaser show over the past 2 years saw your beautiful lighting design on the stage. So is there a sequence that you're most proud of? Like, I know that my favorite was this, like I had mentioned, the Superstition Staying Alive medley. But is there a particular song that you designed lights for that you're particularly proud of or that you really feel attached to?
That's a good question. One of the things... this may or may not answer the question, but I'm going to try. One of the things I wanted to do that I made a goal when we were at rehearsals in Nashville was to change things up a bit from, because I had already done two tours with them, and the design was similar in the first two tours, in my opinion, lighting-wise. And I didn't want to do that again. You know, some of the colors were the same. When I'm Yours, I got a lot of flack from Mike's fiance, who I also went to high school with, which is just a small world kind of thing. But we've known each other for quite a while, too. But Mike's fiance used to come up to me all the time, "Why is every song Mike does, why is it always pink and purple?" Like, you know, so, and she's completely... just, you know, fun-loving harassment. You know, she doesn't really care. But she would always just give me a hard time. It's always pink and purple. And I'm like, well, one of those is going to stay the same, but I'll try real hard to change the others. And so, of course, Like a Prayer stayed that way. But I'm Yours, I felt like it was, for me, I felt I'm Yours was the biggest change and most successful change of all the songs that I did. Because it just, I think partially had to do with where it was placed in the set list, because it was kind of the first song that showed off the lighting. Whereas most nights we did, we always opened with Get Ready, but right. Most nights we followed up with Lion Sleeps Tonight, or we followed up with I'm Yours. And I felt like that was always the first song that kind of showed off the design aspect, because Get Ready is just what we call in the business flash and trash. It's just opening the show, you know, hyping right. the audience, get literally getting them ready for the next 2 hours of fun. And then Lion Sleeps Tonight is for these guys kind of their, to show off their comedy side, to say, this is kind of the personality we have. This is what you should expect mm-hmm. for the rest of the show. You know, if they really wanted to, they could open up with Fix You, and then the whole show is just Debbie Downer. But they're not going to do that. So they kind of always had that formula. But then I'm Yours kicked in, and it's kind of their classic song. I would personally say that I'm Yours is the second most popular song behind 12 Days for these guys, mm-hmm. but at least the way they do it. But that one I was proud of. I thoroughly enjoyed the movie medley, because I was, it's similar to the cartoon medley a year ago. I was able to kind of literally make the lighting fit the show, the movie that they were, you know, showing off. So right. Forrest Gump was green, which was, the logo was always green, and Home Alone was red and blue for their logo as well. Star Wars was red and was red on one side and blue on another. Nobody ever, I don't think, ever understood that to me. I always was very proud of it, but I thought, look, you know, it's like the swords or whatever they're called, the lightsabers. It's the evil versus the good. I don't think anybody ever really cared, but I liked it. I don't know. I guess to answer the question would be I'm Yours. And another little bit of insight to that is Tris, the sound guy, he and I would always just kind of during shows, we suggest things to each other. Hey, why don't you put an echo here? Or he would turn to me and say, why don't you wait for that light change or something like that? Just because, not because we were trying to control each other, but sometimes I'll hear something he doesn't because he's so used to listening to the show, and he'll see something I don't because I'm so used to seeing the show. And one thing he did was suggest a part of the rainbow sequence in I'm Yours at the beginning of the tour was a little different than later in the tour. That was kind of his suggestion. So, you know, we all kind of collaborate a little bit, I guess.
Right. That's really cool because I never noticed like the little nuances between different songs, and like you had been mentioning with the movie medley about the blue and the red with the Star Wars, and just having the colors and the lights be integrated with the ideas of the song and what the song is actually representing. I think that's really cool because you never really notice it until somebody points it out, but then it just in some way, I guess subconsciously, probably enhances your experience of the show without you even knowing it. So yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, that's kind of the, theatrically speaking, that's kind of the point of lighting design is not to just throw it in your face. It's kind of just to help you keep, in theater, it's to enhance and support the script. I would say that these guys also, they're not scripted per se, but they, you know, that movie medley is very specific. The way that Seggy and Tyler put it together was there was no mistake. You know, they knew what they were doing. So I wanted to help kind of enhance that a bit to support the song. So
fantastic. So So in our last interview with you, you told us that before you were with Straight No Chaser, you had designed lights and scenery around the Houston area. So how exactly did you start designing lights and doing this whole stuff?
Sure. when I was 12 years old in middle school, at Welch Middle School, go Warriors. I also, by the way, little known fact, Beyonce and Kelly Rowland went to that school. They were a year older than me. They did not know who I was. But anyway.
I was about to ask.
they probably still don't know who I am. but I sure knew who they were. But anyway, when I was in 42nd Street, the musical, I was in the show. And I am not the most talented dancer and singer. I would like to say that I'm a pretty good actor. But when it comes to dancing and singing, I'm not the greatest. And if you know anything about 42nd Street, it's practically all tap dancing. I was one of the kids in the back that was just pounding my feet on the ground. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. I still don't. And one of the guys setting up sound and lighting for that show, and mind you, this is kind of inner city middle school. We were better off than what you would, I guess, think of as an inner city school, but it was still pretty, we didn't have all the best equipment and stuff, but we put on some good shows. But anyway, the guy setting up lighting and sound, a guy named Kevin Ritchie, he kind of saw this putz in the back, not knowing what he was doing, and asked me one day to run a couple cables for him for sound. And I was like, sure, whatever. So I did, and we started talking, and I started helping him more, and he started actually putting me on shows at that school. And he was in high school. I was still 7th grade. He was two or three years older than me, or still is. He started taking me out on other jobs. Like, we would go, I would help him at other schools to set up stuff, and he just started trusting me more. And by the time I was ending my 8th grade year, I auditioned and got into the High School for the Performing and Visual Arts, which is what the show Fame is based off of, school. That's my 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. But anyway, I got into that school easier than anybody's ever gotten in, probably, in the history of that school, because I literally just said to the guy, yeah, I'm interested in tech theater, and boom, I was in. I don't know if I was charming or if maybe, you know, I just had this look of desperation on my face, like, please let me in, or, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. So I got in and just kind of stuck to lighting. I do scenery. I have done costuming. I've done props. I've done sound even. But lighting design has always kind of been my favorite, partially because the amount of time it does not take up. for instance, I can design a show. I do this all the time for a company in Houston that I've been working for quite a few years. But I work for them 3 weeks out of the year doing 3 major productions. And the money is very good for that kind of thing. But if I were a stage manager, which I've also done, that takes up 8 weeks of my time. And yes, I get paid a little more, but when it comes down to it, I don't get paid more because it's 8 weeks of my life.
Right.
Same with the set. I usually have to build the set. And usually that takes place in my garage or some, un-air-conditioned, you know, facility that in Houston, you kind of need that. So lighting design is just, it's more cush. I get to sit in a theater in the air conditioning and do it for a week and then go on to the next job. Plus, I've gotten, obviously, because of all the jobs, I've gotten better at it, I would like to think. So I get more jobs because I've gotten better at it.
Very cool. So I imagine that there must be more to lighting design than just pressing a few buttons at the right time. So What process do you go through to design the lights, the staging, the cues? I mean, does this process differ from theater to theater? And how much of it is actually done in theater as opposed to outside of the theater and stuff like that?
Sure. The beginning of the process is always a lot more stressful and heavier and more work than once the beginning is over, so the middle and the end. Nowadays, with light boards, they're just computers, and all you do is you program that computer the way you like it, and after you get it the way you like it, it's a piece of cake. You just sit there and press play. That's why I'm able to tweet and text and Facebook words with friends during a show, partially because once you get to know the show, it's just a matter of pressing one button at the right time and keep going from there. So, but at the very beginning, you figure out where you want all your lights. You plot it out. You set it up and make sure everything works. You do what's called addressing the lights. You label everything. I mean, you make sure all the cable's good. There's a lot of work, and then I sat at a light board for 3 days while these guys learned choreography and new songs and stuff and just programmed the entire show. In the old days, it used to be what's called a two-scene preset, and you had to change. Like, if I were to do what I do now with a two-scene preset, I would be sweating every show because you have to change every single fader and this and that, and then you change the scene, and then you go back and change the faders, and then you change the scene again. It's kind of a process. But I have a lot of work at the top. Now, when it comes to every theater, it doesn't change so much from theater to theater if you have the same equipment every time, if it's consistent. But for instance, back to Canada again, since we tried to make every show a little better in Canada, not better, but a little different. It took a lot more programming. Sunday, I sat there for almost 2.5 hours programming the show again. And I did that quite a few times in Canada because they would have different moving lights and different LEDs or things like that that I hadn't already programmed. Every once in a while, you go from a theater to another theater and they do have the same lights, and then it's really easy to just do what's called cloning, and you clone them into the scene and into the song, and you just go, you walk away, and it's done. But it's not so bad when you have this, when it's consistent. When it's not consistent, it becomes pretty difficult. So, like this summer, I will be doing a couple of the one-off shows that they're doing, and every single one of those shows, I'll have to reprogram the show. So,
wow.
You just have to get at it.
Okay. So for the chasers that might not know, you said that this past tour will be your last tour as Straight Nor Chaser. So of course we're all very sad to hear that we won't be able to see you at the shows this coming fall. But and I know you just mentioned this, so you were still going to be designing lights for the group, right?
Yeah, I'll be as long as everything works out with scheduling stuff and obviously with the kid, I still plan on designing. I still will probably, you know, at least for the first week and probably a couple times during the tour, check in and make sure everything is going the way it should be. You know, the person that comes in to run shows for these guys, I'll have close contact with. So, you know, it'll be... I'll still have my hand on some things. So, yeah, I'll still be around.
So that means that we'll actually physically see you around here and there then, yes?
Every once in a while. I'll try and show up to a show that you're at so I can get my dark chocolate.
Yeah. That means I have to actually get you your dark chocolate now.
Yeah, well, you could.
You can't get away with that. Okay.
Yeah, no.
So do you think that Chasers might be able to see you on the cruise in October?
The cruise is definitely a no.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because my daughter is due 2 weeks before that cruise starts.
Oh.
So it would be very rude of me to leave my wife. So I will definitely not be on the cruise, but I don't know how much of a role I will have on that, partially because, you know, a cruise already has kind of their theater set up, and the acts that come into those cruises are usually just kind of going to get what they get. And, I mean, mind you, they probably have more lights than most Las Vegas venues, but there will be I'll probably send out a list to say, this is what the guys normally use, and probably don't want to light up Fix You with all white light, and you probably want to make sure, you know, this song is upbeat or this song isn't, and, you know, whatever. I'll probably have a hand in that, but I will not be swimming along with you guys, no.
So for this summer then, because you said that you're going to be at a few of the shows, which shows are you going to be at?
Honestly, I have no idea. Oh, this summer? Are you talking about the summer?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the little shows here and there.
Yeah, the plan right now, they have a show, a private show in June, and they have a private show in July that I will be at. And then they have a show in Biloxi in July that I will be at. And they have a couple shows at the end of July. And they have a couple shows, like the Chautauqua, I forget if that's the music fest or not, but they have, no, Chautauqua's not. There's a Chautauqua show, there's a music fest show that's, I believe, in Pennsylvania, I want to say, in August. So I'm planning on being at those. Whoever takes my place might be at those as well, partially because I want to get people to train them. Because all these guys have their own little quirky things that they do that are cues to me to light them up or to not light them up or to light up the crowd or things like that. So I want to make sure that there's no bump in the road when we change from me to whoever.
Right. Okay. So I know it might be hard to choose just one thing, but if you had to, what has been your favorite thing about working and touring with Strainer Chaser?
Having brothers. I mean, that's probably the favorite thing, is being able to just hang out with a bunch of guys that all have really fun personalities and have everybody else's best interests in mind. That's probably the best. I mean, I grew up in a very female heavy house, and my wife, you know, now I'm still in a female heavy house with a wife and an expected daughter, and my dog is even a female dog, and my mother-in-law's always around, my sister's always around, my aunt is around quite a bit. So it's like, it's a lot of estrogen. So when I get, you know, with these guys, you know, even though half the time they're talking about music and a cappella, which some would consider a little effeminate, but, you know, they still have, you know, Walt is real heavy into baseball and all sports, really, but especially baseball. So I get to, you know, I can talk with them about that stuff and just kind of be able to hang out with a bunch of dudes. And like I said earlier, the whole video game thing, I wouldn't have done that if I was on tour with the Dixie Chicks or, you know, something like that. But, so these guys, it's the personalities, the friendships, the fun we have. Ryan and Don are real into exploration of like towns we go to. So, and we have a lot of similar interests that way. We like to hit up a museum or, we went to, in Boise, I believe, I think it was actually Des Moines. It was Des Moines, Iowa, Tyler's hometown. We went to a science museum and just had a blast. I mean, we literally shot off paper rockets and competed over it and you know, who can shoot theirs. And we had a good time. So that kind of stuff, being able to hang out with dudes and, you know, be dudes, I guess.
Right. That's awesome. Okay, so last time we chatted with you, you said that before you were on tour with Straight Narrow Chaser, you were teaching high school theater, and that you would like to someday go back to that. So for anybody that is interested in pursuing the arts as a career, what advice would you give them?
I would tell them to always say yes to pretty much anything that they're asked to do regarding theater or whatever field they like in theater or entertainment. Even if you don't know how to do something, you can always learn. When I first took this job, the light board that they wanted to take out, I was very, I wasn't the most confident with the light board, but I told them, yes, I can do that. That's fine. And I sat with the manual and I learned the light board. And I still made some mistakes, but, you know, it's just one of those things that as long as you have time, I wouldn't say yes if you have to do it in 5 minutes and you have no idea what you're doing. That I'm not advising, but, you know, I had a good couple weeks to learn this light board. And so that's an example. It's a small example, but I'd say to always just have confidence in yourself and say yes, that you can do something, the other word I would say is to network. Make sure you are always getting to know people. Never turn down or turn away from somebody because you never know when you're going to see them again. Earlier I mentioned Kevin Ritchie, and you know he and I are probably going to go into business pretty soon. He has a company that he runs, and I, small world fact was that I hadn't seen or really heard from Kevin Ritchie until 2 years ago when I was on tour with these guys and we were headed to Kansas City. We happened to stop at a random Cracker Barrel in Kansas City or near Kansas City, and I was sitting there eating breakfast because I'm one of the early risers, especially when I can smell Cracker Barrel. But anyway, I went in and had some breakfast, and there's a guy sitting across from me that looked very familiar. He came up to me at the end of his meal and said, "Are you Blake Miner?" And I said, "You're Kevin Ritchie, aren't you?" And literally hadn't seen the guy for 10 years.
Wow.
And we started talking again. And we both knew each other existed and where we were, partially because of Facebook, but, you know, we were only friends on Facebook. I knew the guy lived in Austin. He knew I still lived in Houston. But we really never caught up. And ever since then, we've kept in touch a little bit more than usual. And it's one of those things that he's in the entertainment business and so am I. And so you know, if I had angered him 10 years ago, he probably wouldn't have come up to me and reintroduced himself because he would have been like, "Oh, there's a jerk, Blake. I don't want to talk to him." So always just make sure you're networking, being nice to people and that kind of stuff.
Right. That's great advice. Okay, we've been asking this question to the other Straight Narrow Chaser guys that we've been interviewing for the past several months. So, if you were to assemble your own dream band with any musician, living or dead, who would be in this band?
I asked my wife this question yesterday when you sent this to me, and we didn't necessarily argue over it, but she definitely has a different opinion of who would be in her dream band than I would. I would have to say Ryan Allworth, Don Nottingham, Charlie Mack. No, I'm kidding. I would, oh man, it's still a tough question. This is the only question I actually thought about an answer and I still don't have a good one. I would have to say my lead singer, because it's my favorite band, would be Dave Matthews. Compared to the other guys that I may name, and my wife hates Dave Matthews and put that on the record. But anyway, but he's not exactly the most talented musician of the rest of the people I'm going to name, but he is definitely just the most entertaining, in my opinion. He's just a fun act to watch. But anyways, Dave Matthews, Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters / Nirvana, I think is just probably the most talented musician living today. I think he's pretty great, and you can put him anywhere. Let's see, man. I guess I really like Stevie Wonder. So put him out there, because that guy can harmonize with just about anybody. Let's see, I gotta think of a drummer. I would put Paul McCartney on bass, only because, well, for two reasons. One, my wife would leave me for him, even now. So, you know, out of respect to her, I'll put him on there. But he's also songwriting ability. He would help that crew.
Right.
Not to say that Dave Matthews or Dave Grohl are horrible songwriters, but and then last and not least, I would put, I guess this is going to sound weird. I'd put Phil Collins on there.
Interesting.
So I grew up really liking Genesis and Phil Collins. And again, all those guys except for maybe Dave Matthews could literally play any instrument. So I'll leave it at those four: Dave Matthews, Dave Grohl, Paul McCartney, and Phil Collins as sort of the dream band. I mean, I could keep naming people, but you know, like John Tesh, he's just an amazing. No, I'm kidding. That may go over some people's heads, but I guess those four.
Interesting. You know, Ryan had probably like 20 people that he was naming, so you could go beyond four if you'd like.
No, he's probably still naming people. That guy, that guy loves music. I mean, I love music and all, but I mean, that guy is, he's pretty, well, I'll say it. He's a nerd. So, you know. He could, I mean, but he'll name some obscure people too. So, I don't know. Trist, a little insight on Trist. Trist knows and probably owns every piece of music ever put out ever. And wow. I'm talking back to caveman days. I mean, that guy has every piece of music. So if you ever are trapped in a Ryan and Trist conversation, you have two options, either to join the conversation or to just end it all, because you will never get out. They could literally talk about music and very obscure music forever and enjoy it too. And never eat, never, you know, they would never have a sip of water, but they'd still be living somehow. But yeah, those guys are kind of music geeks, music nerds, whatever. So, but I'm gonna stop at four. You could keep going. So.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, Blake. I mean, I had a great time. But before we wrap this up, I wanted to ask you one last thing. Do you have anything that you want to say to the Straight No Chaser fans that are listening to the podcast right now?
Sure. Like we said earlier, I won't be with the guys full time after this wrapped up tour. So just that I'm very grateful and appreciative to all the fans of Straight No Chaser, because they treated me like another member when they didn't have to, have always been extremely generous and kind, and I've never met a single fan that had any ill words to say, always kind of trusted me with with what I do for these guys, and I do appreciate that very much. And probably the best fans that any group could have, because of just how nice you guys are, and how generous and how committed some of you are to showing up to shows, and you know, making sure that you guys are always just kind of having their backs and supporting them. That goes to the crew as well. So, speaking on behalf of the crew and of course myself, we appreciate that. So,
all righty. Well, thank you so much, Blake. This was a great interview. I really enjoyed chatting with you. Hopefully, we'll be able to do it again sometime when you're not, you know, busy taking care of your daughter. Which I'm sure is going to, that's probably going to be the main focus of your time starting October or starting this fall anyway. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate it, Shayna. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know what, Shayna, that was a great, great interview. I mean, I love the behind-the-scenes stories. I mean, just an awesome interview, and sorry I couldn't be there, but you know what? You did it all yourself, and tip my hat to you there.
Thanks, Dave. It was really funny because I had sent him a message asking him what dates are available, and it was like 2 days after he came back from the tour, and he's like, I'm available on that Tuesday. So I was like, oh, okay, because I expected him to, you know, want a break or something beforehand. But he was like, nah, I'm just getting carpet that day. I'm going to be bored. We could do it that day. So, yeah. So I was like, okay. So then we just chatted a while, and it was really great. It's always great chatting with Blake. And it was nice, for me at least, to kind of hear more of a backstory about how he got into lighting and how he got into staging and all the technical aspect of lighting a stage, because there are these little things that you just never realize, like he was talking about with the movie medley, about how the colors of the lights reflect the actual movie, like how Forrest Gump theme was green and the Star Wars theme was red and blue, and it's like, these little insider things are just really fun to hear from him. So, yeah.
I'm just sad that we may never get to know how many SNC guys it takes to screw in a light bulb.
Well, we can ask him that next time. I think that would be a fun question for next time. Because, like you said, he's not actually going to be he's not going to completely leave Shooter Chaser. He's going to be doing design for their lights and stuff. And he'll be at shows every once in a while just to kind of check up and see how things are doing. He's just not going to be touring all the time. So I think it might be great to catch up after the babies come and wrecked hell and kind of settle down a little bit. But, yeah, I think it would be great to kind of chat with Blake again, because kind of see how things are going and how lighting design is going for him after touring with Straight No Chaser. So, yeah. But, Chasers, we would love to hear what you thought about the interview. Send us an email at sncfanchat@gmail.com. Our mailbox is, once again, lonely, so we would love to hear from you and love to hear your feedback on the interview and the episode. So be sure to let us know.
Hey, guys, it's time for news.
Yay.
Hey, I heard recently that the one, the only, recently interviewed David D.R. Roberts just had a bachelor party here not too long ago. And, David, I hope you survived that bachelor party okay. I mean, we know how they go. But hey, you know what, David? I got to tell you, congratulations again on your upcoming nuptials. Big secret, I guess, of when they actually are. I'm sure sometime in this month, because bachelor parties only precede the actual ceremony. Yeah, we'll say ceremony, the festivities. So, again, congratulations, David.
Yeah, congrats, DR. So, speaking of this summer, Straight No Chaser will be performing random shows here and there throughout the summer, throughout these months while they are off from touring. And I know that there are going to be lots of fun. I'm not quite sure, like, what the set list and stuff like that is, but they have a couple of private shows. One of them was, that was most recent, was in D.C. They also have one in July at Biloxi. Biloxi, is that how you say it? In Biloxi in July, and then a couple at the Cape in Massachusetts at the end of July, and then one in Pennsylvania, and then in August, and another one in Chautauqua this August. So I think there might be more. There's one in Connecticut in August. There are a lot at the end of August. There's one in Connecticut and then one in Virginia, and 22nd, 24th, 25th, 26th. So all the end of August and early and late July. So it looks like if you want a chance to go and see Straight and Chaser during the summer, then these are your best options. For tickets, you know where to go.
Where?
Just go to smcmusic.com/ and click the tour tab, and yeah, you can find all your tickets and all your wonderful ticket goodies over there on smcmusic.com. So yeah,
That's amazing. That's really amazing. I've heard that before, that you can check out tickets there at that same website, at that same tab, and everything. I've heard
You're
that.
Getting so pro at talking about tickets.
Yeah. Hey, let's get off tickets for a second and talk about notes, more specifically quarter notes. I understand reading here last week and a half now, a brand new edition of SNC quarter notes hit the newsstand, or actually I should say hit the website. And you know what? Who better to tell us about quarter notes than our very own Shane Aim, chief editor and all that is stuff for the quarter notes. Come on, Shana, tell us about it. What kind of exciting things can our listeners read about?
Well, let me tell you this before I start talking about it. My brain is still fried from those hours of doing layout design. But I have to say that I'm very proud of this issue. It's a 50-page issue. And it's focusing mainly on Save the Sing-Off, because once we had heard that they were thinking of canceling the Sing-Off, and in our past issues we have talked a lot about the Sing-Off, we decided to make that our Save the Sing-Off edition. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't any Straight No Chaser-related things in the magazine. In fact, we have a lot of really great articles. Some of you might remember when Straight No Chaser was talking about the origins of the term beat, and how to correctly beat someone. So there's an article about that. There's an article about the different incarnations, I guess you could say, of Straight No Chaser. The Straight No Chaser Atlantic Records, how SNC got its name, IUSNC, and how IUSNC is changing its name to another round. So that article is called How SNC Lost Their Comma. A lot of really great and really fun articles about Straight No Chaser. And there's a lot of articles about the Sing-Off, too, because, of course, it is the Save the Sing-Off edition. Since we do want to promote what's kind of been going on and kind of hopefully raise awareness amongst the Straight No Chaser community, because if you haven't checked out the Sing-Off, you can watch the show. They do a lot of songs that Straight No Chaser actually has in their repertoire as well. So it's kind of fun to expand your acapella horizons and listen to other groups besides Straight No Chaser, not to say that Straight No Chaser isn't awesome, because of course they are. But yeah, there's a lot of really great, fun articles. And also we're adding some new staff members. So if you're looking to write for quarter notes and get more involved in the Straight No Chaser community, we'd love to have you on the team to write, because we always have so many great article ideas, but not enough time and not enough people to write these articles. So it doesn't matter if you don't think you have a good idea or if you don't think that you write well. So if you feel like you want to get involved, if you feel like it's something that you're interested in doing in any capacity, whether you want to help with photos, if you want to be like a staff photographer, or if you want to be a staff writer, or if you want to even just help with the copy editing, and we can just send you the issue before it goes out and you can read it and copy edit it before we put it out, anything like that, just send us an email at smcquarternotes sugarchocolatelove@gmail.com, or if you visit our Facebook and Twitter pages, we've actually been posting a link to a form that you can fill out. If you want to be involved, become more involved in Quarter Notes, we would love to have you. We'd love to have you write for us, take photos for us, whatever you want to do. And it would be a lot of fun. I mean, we have a lot of fun making it, and it's always fun to see the finished product and to see your writing in a full-page spread or your photographs in a full-page spread. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you prefer to, you could obviously, you could see the issue online if you go to facebook.com/SNCQuarterNotes, or if you look on our Twitter page, which is twitter.com/SNCQuarterNotes. There should be a link to our third and latest issue, which is available either digitally online, or you could even order a print copy on MagCloud. So if you prefer to read the magazine in person on paper instead of on your computer screen, then you can order a copy there. So, yeah. I don't think I'm forgetting anything. So, yeah, I hope
I think you are forgetting one. I think you are forgetting one thing there, Shayna. Hey, Tina.
I am.
I noticed that Shayna doesn't work alone, and she's got a hell of a staff there. I mean, we got Jana Barnes, Kimberly Davis, Sarah Dowling, SJ, Sarah Jane, and then Tara Kellerman, Annie DeLuca, LaDuca, Marna, Carla, and Sarah Twilley, and Christina. You know what? You got a great staff. And, I mean, guys, I bow to you. I tip my hat to you and your staff there, Shayna.
I know. We got so lucky because before we actually put out this issue, we did put out a Help Wanted information ad thingy on our Facebook page. And we actually heard from Christina, who is our newest staff writer, newest staff writer for this issue. So we wanted to welcome Christina to the Quarter Notes team. We also have received a lot of interested notes from other chasers, so we're really excited to be able to work with those staff writers that will be coming on board for the next issue. But if you want to see who is going to be a staff writer for next issue and who has signed on to Quarter Notes, I guess you'll just have to wait and see until our next issue comes out. So I know I'm very excited to be able to work with some great chasers and some awesome people. So if you're interested, just send over an email to sncquarternotes@gmail.com or check out our Facebook and Twitter pages and fill out the form, because we would love to be able to work with you.
Hey, Tina?
Yes, sir.
Tina? Hey, there you are. Hey, Tina. Hey, I'm looking at this Quarter Notes right now as Shane is talking, and I got to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I mean, I see that we got this full-page advertisement for SNC Fan Chat on the Quarter Notes site. So I didn't pay for this full-page ad, and Shayna, she's a college kid. She can't afford no advertising. So, Tina, thanks so much for putting in that ad for this for our SNC Fan Chat podcast. That's really so cool of you.
As much as I would love to take the credit, that also was not me. Not I said the cat.
It's going to take a lot of tickets to pay for that thing. Hey, speaking of tickets, though, Tina.
Well, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Straight No Chaser performed.
Yeah.
And you can buy tickets to see them.
So, really? They performed?
I know.
Wait. They performed live?
Because they're awesome.
In person, in the flesh? Like, it's not like Tupac style where they're in their hologram form. They're actually, like, live, and they're actually in front of you?
Live and in the flesh.
No way.
Oh, yes. If you would like to see this fantastic show of talent, check out sncmusic.com/tours. And find a tour site near you. Go and check them out. If you have not seen Straight No Chaser perform in person, you really do yourself a disservice. I mean, these CDs are fantastic. Their music is fantastic. But you haven't seen Straight No Chaser until you have seen Straight No Chaser. I mean, would you guys agree with me?
Oh, absolutely. Hands down.
Yep, I agree. Pretty much 112%. Straight No who?
Who? Nah, come on. I wouldn't go see a bunch of guys. Come on. Acapulco!
Not Acapulco, acapella.
Okay.
Oh, Dave.
So good.
Oh, well. Hey, more news. We got a brand new Chase of the Month. You want to guess who it is? It's our very own dear friend, Sarah Dowling, the same one that hijacked our podcast a few months ago and took over.
That's right.
Yeah. Good times.
Sarah, congratulations on your crowning of June Chaser of the Month for 2012. Congrats.
Yay!
Congratulations,
Sarah.
That's going to look
very
impressive. Very impressive on her resume.
Mm-hmm. And in other news, since it is the summertime, there was news that Straight No Chaser will be recording their newest pop album. So I just wanted to remind all you Chasers, I'm not sure if we mentioned it last time, but get ready for some new Straight No Chaser tunes. They'll be recording and releasing it. They'll be recording it over the summer, and they'll be releasing it, date to be determined. But I don't know about you, but I'm super excited about that CD. So stay posted on SNCMusic.com, also here on SNC Fan Chat, and we will bring you the latest news once we hear it. So we hope that you enjoy.
Absolutely.
And kind of switching gears a little bit, for those of you that haven't heard.
We need to bring it down just a notch, I think. You know, everybody, we like to have a lot of fun on this show, but we need to tone things down a little bit. Shayna, go ahead.
So, for those of you that don't know or haven't heard of this, there was this initiative started by Andrew Woolard called Scarves for Sarah. A great chaser and our dear friend, Sarah Nemtuda, has been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. So, Angie had this great idea. She's been making scarves and been inviting people to this Facebook group called Scarves for Sarah. And she has been knitting scarves for people and then sending them off for a $40 donation, which will go towards Sarah's medical bills or anything that she needs. So all these proceeds for the scarves will be going to Sarah. I do think it's a great initiative. I mean, I personally have a lot of scarves already, so I'm just going to be donating on my own. But I think it's really a testament to see how great the Chaser community is and how great the Straight No Chaser fan community, Straight No Chaser community and as a whole is. So for any questions, any donations, anything at all for Scarves for Sarah, please go ahead and direct all questions to Angie Woolard. For those of you that don't know her, I think her Twitter handle is Starstruck Canuck, so you can reach her there or you can reach her on Facebook. So I think it's a great initiative, and you should really check it out if you're interested.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much, Angie. That's
mm-hmm. And the scarves are beautiful, too, and they're all handmade by Angie. And it's amazing to see how many scarves she's been making and how hard she's been working. So I think the last that I've seen, I think that she has raised a profit for Sarah of almost like $1,300. So this
That's
is really
awesome.
Amazing to see how great the Chaser, how generous the Chaser community is. So
very, very cool. Very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move on, huh? Hey, what is this? This is June, right? June. I said this already earlier. Let's see, July, August, September, October. October is like 4 months away. And if I remember right, there's a cruise coming up in the middle of October, right? Yeah.
There is.
That's right, yeah.
There is.
SNC cruise.
And chasers, new listeners, I was gonna say, yeah, hey, if you've been living under a rock, you probably didn't realize there's a cruise coming up. But I know none of our chasers been living under a rock, that's for sure. But you know what, guys, we get new listeners all the time, and maybe there's listeners that really don't know that there's going to be an SNC celebrity cruise. Going down the Caribbean, 4 days, 4 nights, down, Key West, ships out of Miami, goes to Key West, and then Cozumel, and then turns around, goes back to Miami. It sounds like a hell of a lot of fun. And for information, help me out, guys. SNCCruise.com. SNCCruise.com. I know there's still tickets available. It's going to be a ride. It's going to be a ride.
Oh, yeah. I wish I was going, of course, being a broke college student during school. There was no way that I'd be able to sling it. But for those of you that can, I highly recommend that you do because, I mean, how awesome would that be? We've heard from so many of the Straight No Chaser members already of the plans and things that they're hoping to have happen during the cruise. So if you're able to make it and you aren't, then why? Like, just why? But anyway...
I don't know.
So just visit SNCCruise.com for more information and for tickets.
Sounds cool. Sounds very cool. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of fun and games there, too. I mean, I'm looking at one of the sites here, and there's some chasers that are going to do a door decorating thing, you know, some sort of theme. I don't know. I think something to do with Straight No Chaser, I guess. It only makes sense. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be, like, karaoke. There's going to be, like, three concerts. Some of the guys are going to be doing solo things. I know Ryan's going to do some guitar solo stuff. I remember him talking about it. You know, it's going to be a blast.
Oh, yeah, it is. If you're on the fence, just do it.
Nike.
Just do it. Nike. Just do it.
Yes, indeed. Well, I think that is all that we have for you for this week, unless I'm forgetting anything. Am I forgetting anything, you guys?
Hey, are there tickets available for any shows?
There are always tickets available for shows.
Okay, just checking. Just checking. I bet you go to SNC.com.
Yes, and you go click the tour tab.
Okay, got it.
Yes, and tickets are selling fast, so be sure to pick up your tickets now. I mean, I think tickets to, was it Allentown? Sold out in under an hour. So,
very fast.
Extremely fast. So be sure to pick up tickets before all the great tickets and all the seats in a venue in your area that Straight No Chaser is going to sell out. So... be sure to visit SNCmusic.com and click on the tour tab, find the city nearest you, and then purchase your tickets. But yeah, I think that's everything. So we'll be bringing you another fun episode sometime next month. But until then, we hope that you enjoyed this episode with our interview with Blake. Be sure to send us an email to our lonely inbox at sncfanchat@gmail.com. And until next time, remember...
hey, keep calm and listen to Straight No Chaser.
Bye, Chasers. Bye.
Love you all. Talk to you again.
So Shayna, Kathy, Dave, and Tina ready to go. SNC Fan Chat, time for the show.